They call it running a business for a reason, because every day feels like a sprint to the finish. But with Clover and Merchant One, you're always one step ahead. Accept payments, run your business, and sell more. Clover plus Merchant One, better business solutions. Go to clover.com/M1 to get started.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, June 26th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Returning to the office has meant a return to working with a patchwork of personalities, including the office jerk. Sure, the disruptions can be annoying, but they can also impact their coworkers' careers.
When we encounter jerks, it's death by a thousand paper cuts. Eventually, we disengage from the workplace. We have revolving doors of talent. The accumulation of the stress in your body as well is also something we shouldn't underestimate. When you're experiencing these chronic stressors from jerks, eventually you're going to see consequences like poor sleep.
We'll talk to New York University psychology professor Tessa West about a recent study that highlighted the anxiety some people feel when giving feedback. After the break.
They call it running a business for a reason, because every day feels like a sprint to the finish. It takes a lot of work to make it all work. But with Clover and Merchant One, you're always one step ahead. Now is the perfect time to upgrade your point of sale technology. We make it easy to accept payments, run your entire business, and sell more. Clover plus Merchant One, better business solutions. Go to clover.com/M1 to get started.
Are you the office jerk? You might think, of course not. But what if your coworkers disagree? Turns out they may be reluctant to tell you how they really feel. Tessa West is a professor of psychology at New York University. She and her colleagues conducted a study to find out why people find it difficult to give negative feedback, and she joins me now. So Tessa, what kind of jerk-like behavior are we talking about?
When most of us hear the word jerk, we think really egregious stuff, you know, yelling at someone, insulting them, taking away their power in a meeting. But I actually really focus on the low-level types of jerk behavior, interruptions, you know, kind of ignoring people, writing a slightly rude email, or taking over a meeting, the kinds of things that we encounter in our everyday work lives.
So why did you decide to do the study?
I think it's fascinating to look at how people avoid feedback in uncomfortable situations. As a social psychologist, that's really what I focus on, is how people avoid feeling anxious and uncomfortable, even if it kind of hurts them in the end. So one of the studies we talk about in this piece is really focusing on giving feedback to someone who obviously needs it in the context of losing a negotiation to that person, in all the ways that which people will just avoid saying the thing instead of just being straightforward and honest in a way that's useful to the person on the receiving end.
Why do they try to avoid giving feedback?
I think we live in a culture where negative feedback is just seen as really inappropriate. And probably more importantly, we don't learn how to do it in a constructive way. So we're very afraid of it. We're afraid it's going to backfire, that the person's going to do things like engage in reverse blame. Well, you know, maybe if you had done this better, I wouldn't be in this situation. And I think that's typically how these things play out. And so instead of learning the strategies to be better at it, we just avoid it completely.
So how did you work this feedback issue into the study that you and your colleagues did?
So what we did in that study was we were interested in what happens when you're in a situation where clearly you need to give someone constructive feedback. This person has just done a negotiation with you. We've come in as scientists and said, hey, this person lost to you. Why don't you give them some constructive feedback on what they could do? So kind of the ideal situation where feedback makes sense, setting them up for success in that situation, telling them even ways in which they could do this. And most people just stuck with the positives. What was fascinating, though, is at the same time, we measured their physiology. So we could see that their heart rate was kind of going through the roof, that they're very stressed out while delivering this positive feedback. So we call this the brittle smiles effect. Smiling, nodding your head, telling them you did great. All the while you look like you're, you know, on the treadmill at the same time because you're avoiding the negative stuff.
Oh, so grinning right through your teeth.
That's right.
So when the exercise was over, how did the people respond to this newfound ability to give feedback?
You know, people can really lean into it if you give them very specific instructions. And what's great about it is people feel much more confident if you tell them to avoid saying negative stuff completely. Focus on the behaviors someone's doing, make them small and bite-sized and immediate, and really avoid making attributions for people's behavior completely. Don't use the word jerk. Don't say mean, or don't say you intended to do this, that, and the other. If you stick to the small stuff, to the behaviors that people are doing, then they feel suddenly much more confident in being able to deliver that kind of feedback. So that's usually how we train people on kind of how to get around this very sticky social situation.
All right, so back to the office environment. What's the best way to approach someone who might need to be told to, you know, tone it down?
The best thing to do is to approach them and ask them if you can talk about the event that led you to feel like they were a jerk. You know, maybe in a meeting they cut you off 15 times or interrupted you, or maybe your boss micromanaged you and oversaw your work a little too much. Instead of going to them and telling them how you feel, go to them and say, can we talk about that event? I feel like maybe we're not on the same page regarding some of those behaviors. And then at the end of the conversation, you know, where you deliver information or you ask them about how did they feel about this behavior? Here's what I thought that meant. Ask for feedback yourself. As soon as it feels reciprocal, as soon as the person you're giving feedback to feels like they can also give some feedback to you, they feel much better about it. They're less likely to feel attacked. They're much less defensive about the feedback experience.
Some people might be sort of laughing about this, about the scenario of someone acting like a jerk, but there could be some very real ramifications here. This can affect people's careers. It can affect their earnings.
Absolutely. And I think most of us, when we encounter jerks, it's death by a thousand paper cuts. Eventually, we disengage from the workplace. You know, we have revolving doors of talent. So people in management really need to care about kind of seeing these things when they're first starting, detecting them early so that they don't get out of hand. And they absolutely add up over time. And I think the accumulation of the stress in your body as well is also something we shouldn't underestimate. As someone who studies stress for a living, I know that when you're experiencing these chronic stressors from jerks, eventually you're going to see consequences like poor sleep, poor eating, and, you know, even heart disease and cardiovascular issues, things like that.
So let's say somebody has figured out that indeed they are the office jerk, or maybe an office jerk. How can they use the right kind of feedback to help them rectify their ways?
If you think you're a jerk, first off, you're in good company. Most of us have the potential to be an office jerk. What you want to do is actually sidestep the kind of jerk questions completely. Ask about your specific behaviors. If the person who you're worried you're a jerk to is someone who's underneath you in some capacity, you hold power over them, don't even ask about your behaviors. Ask about what an ideal behavior would look like for that person. So you're really getting around kind of jerk language, jerk accusations, and say, you know, what would the ideal amount of time to turn around this document be? Or do you want me to call on you, or do you feel comfortable speaking up? Sometimes you can detect that you're a jerk by just looking at the discrepancy between what you're doing and what the people around you say they would love to see in a person in your position. So I'm a big fan of kind of the more indirect path of detecting that you're the actual jerk at work.
So you had very specific takeaways that you wanted to come from this study.
What I do is learn where the Achilles heel is in people's ability to give feedback and the ability to ask for it. So there's kind of both this combination of if you don't ask the right way, no one will tell you that you're a jerk. And if you deliver it poorly, people are going to get extremely defensive. And so just very kind of specific behavior-based immediate types of feedback are the best. I don't like feedback that happens once a quarter or once a month because it feels too big and scary. I like the kind of more organic, natural, bite-sized pieces of feedback. And I think what I learned from the study is when you formalize feedback, people get really uncomfortable. Even if it's to say, this is a 15-minute feedback conversation, that's sufficient enough to disrupt the whole process. It's better if you just kind of do it when you're walking down the hall and it feels more natural. It feels less kind of structured.
That's New York University psychology professor Tessa West. And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.